Adobia Bridgeum. We are having a conversation on how we can navigate our social media, the privacy settings, some safety tips that we can apply so that we are all safe in this cyberspace that we find ourselves in. I have my guest ready and we'll be getting into the conversation now. He is a lawyer and a digital skills advocate. He's in the person of Yao Owusu Abebio. Yao, you're welcome.
Thank
you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well,
Adobia. Good. We started a conversation somewhere last week and it was mainly about how people can navigate their privacy settings on social media. There are different accounts that they may have because now you don't just have one social media account. Someone may have X, may have Facebook, LinkedIn, the different ones that are available. And based on that, we shared some tips. And tonight, we want to continue the conversation. And for you listening to us, maybe if you have any question, you can go ahead and send it to our WhatsApp number, 055-1111-997. 055-1111-997. Let us hear from you based on the discussions that we are going to have. And just in case you missed last week, we streamed it on YouTube and on Facebook. The handle is Ajoy99.7FM. You can just check that out after tonight's show. So just stay with us and listen to what we have for you this evening. So based on the different discussions that we have had, tonight we want to tackle something that I feel is very necessary. A lot of times you see people post things on their social media platforms and then they add sometimes chilling at, then they'll add the particular place that they are chilling. What kind of information can we put out there? Or should there be some kind of limits? I think we want to check that our personal information that we put out there on our social media handles.
I think with the digital world now, you can do everything. You can be anything you want in that abstract universe.
Mm-hmm.
The possibilities are limitless. So whatever you want to do, you can do it. But we should always realize that these issues of our personal information is a matter of security, and it's very, very important. The same way that you lock the door to your house,
mm-hmm.
you lock your car when you're moving away, and you place emphasis on all sorts of your physical security, any manner or form that it takes, you should take prime importance or place prime importance on your security in the digital space also, because it is important. So yes, that's my comment on that.
Okay.
You can do whatever you want.
You can do it. But what are the risks of putting a lot of information, especially personal information, out there on social media handles?
Okay. So from my earlier statement, mm-hmm. on the fact that it's your security,
mm-hmm.
there's this phenomenon online where there's one social media user in the US. The name is Jose Monkey.
Mm.
People send him videos of themselves wherever they are, usually in the US, and they will ask him that, Jose Monkey, find me. So the person has recorded a video of themselves somewhere on this planet, and they send it to him, and he's able to find you almost wherever you are on this earth
with no obvious clue. The only thing is just a video that is shared with him.
There's a video of your surroundings, and it's amazing how that you can be found with just a video. He uses all sorts of means, like Google Lens, your clues from your surroundings,
mm-hmm.
and puts it on maps, all sorts of ways. But you can see the impact of, mm-hmm. putting such information online, as you mentioned, like chilling at your geo-target. It's very, very critical. It's a serious matter that if such information gets into someone's hands, it's very, very dangerous. So your identity, your personal information, and in certain situations, online harassment and such related matters. So the effects or the risks are a lot, but primarily this is the information about yourself, and that should not get into the wrong hands.
That's the whole point. Getting into the wrong hands, that's when it could be used against you. So those could be some of the pitfalls, the fact that you put so much about you out there. So if anything at all, the risk is that that can get into the wrong hands. So people may have to limit the kind of information that they put about themselves online.
Yes, you have to be very circumspect about it, generally.
But we live in a social media age now.
Yes, I think in a way this thing about also people, everybody wants to be a content creator. Everybody wants to be the first person.
Exactly. I think we touched on that a few weeks ago. Yeah.
Yes. So it's also a little bit of that, but you have to be careful.
Okay. So, I mean, but what we have just spoken about, there are times that there are certain accounts that you may see. We are talking about privacy settings. Last week, one of the things we touched on was some people may create their account. An example is Facebook. And then for a reason, they stop using that account. They don't necessarily lock it. They don't necessarily put the activities off. And then for some time, maybe they've forgotten the password. They've stopped using it. They create a new account altogether. And you may have people tagging you and all that. But if you are on your Facebook account, for instance, how are you able to determine that maybe someone sending you a message is, it could be a fraudulent activity, or the person may have some kind of malicious intention? How are you able to identify that, looking at our privacy and talking about the things that we even put out there online?
Okay, so I'll start with the premise that, yeah, we understand that it is social media.
Yeah.
It is meant to connect people. People we know, and then strangers also. So everybody would understand that, yes, all these are possibilities. There's no, it's not cast in stone that you won't accept a certain person who follows or adds you as a friend or something. But again, you have to be careful about some suspicious profiles or characters who try to get into your digital space. That's number one. And then also, beyond that, you have to use, you have to be careful about the type of activity, the type of information that you share. And then also in the interaction, if you see that things are not going well, there are avenues on some of these platforms for reporting, or whether it's blocking, muting, or such, or any such means which you can use to keep your space in check. So those are some of the ways, besides the mere factor of profiling someone even before you accept or follow back or something. So those are the means. I know, and as we were mentioning earlier, that there isn't always a one-size-fits-all means, because, you know, some on certain profiles, you are adding someone as a friend. Elsewhere, you are following back. Some other place, you have to send some different type of request, but you have to watch it, the entry first, and then when the access is granted, when that person is eligible to come into your space, how you manage that relationship or that interaction through muting, blocking, or any such means is also important.
Do.
Yes.
So one of the things that I do personally is, especially on Facebook, for instance, if someone asks for a friend request, I usually check the mutual, because the mutual friends that that person and I have, because there are times that maybe the person has even changed their name, you don't really recognize the name, the picture they are using too is not something that you recognize easily. So those are some of the means that I'm able to at least check and confirm that, okay, if the person is friends with this, that, that, and those people, I see the engagements with them, then I can go ahead and connect with them. But this thing about the information and the risk of putting some information out there, what kind of information will we say is enough where people may not necessarily be at risk?
Okay, so with the information, again, I think it also depends on the type of platform that we are talking about. With certain platforms,
you can give the example.
You know that, so for example, on Facebook, it's a little bit of a much more personal level. So you, well, there are eras where people were using some pseudonyms and things like that. But generally, I think people would use their names. In other platforms, maybe like X, which is Twitter, you may rather use some, just the handle, and not, which may not necessarily be your name. So depending on where you are, or the platform you are using, you would be able to determine the type of information which is too much. But putting everything out there and making it available to anybody and everybody, that is dangerous. That is the dangerous thing. So your personal contact information, your residential address, sometimes even your business address may be a bit dangerous to put in there. But the information about yourself, dates of birth, and I know, for example, on Facebook, you had brothers, your like family, close family.
Yeah, I remember what a friend did sometime back.
You can add all that. So it would mean that when you put all that, someone looks at your profile and can actually write a myself for you, which is, you know, one of the risks, identity theft.
They
can impersonate you completely. So that's the type of information, depending on the platform.
There must be some kind of limit. And I think with some of the features of Facebook too, at least it allows you to be able to lock your profile, and so certain information can be kept hidden. And I think, was it today, I was trying to link up my page to IG, my Facebook page to IG, and then I realized that there's even options there for you. There's an option there for you where you can prevent people from being able to download certain contents that you even post. Which means all these are there that people can check, and it will help with their privacy. Because if I've uploaded a video and the next time I'm seeing that it's viral because someone has posted it on a different platform, at least.
And in fact, that happens a lot now. You see maybe a video from TikTok and all of a sudden it's on X, or on X and it's now on IG and it's somewhere.
Yeah.
And like, it could be anything, personal information. And especially now with how things go about, maybe someone knows someone else. And the worrying part is sometimes the information, or a lot of times, it's the negative news that travels very, very fast. And sometimes the content itself is not that bad, but maybe the caption, it invokes certain sentiments.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody who hops onto that post follows mm-hmm. what the caption says, and it can be very, very disturbing, leading to things like cyberbullying, harassment, and things like that. So I do get that picture, but it's very important that we are careful with those things.
We definitely have to check that. So for any social media account, we just have to check our settings. There's a need to check our settings, and it's usually where we have the privacy settings. So you can check your profile, and then the profile settings where we have the security settings, privacy settings, and check the different things that are available. Something like LinkedIn, for instance, there are so many different things you can check and uncheck.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that?
Yes. Recently, I was just looking through some of it, and maybe anybody who actively uses LinkedIn a bit, you realize it has a lot of notifications.
So many.
Yeah, but the permissions in the settings, like you can turn off all sorts of notifications.
That's right.
Specifically or in different forms, whether it's all of it. And it just shows you that a lot of times these avenues are there mm-hmm. for everybody to mm-hmm. Tailor what they want on the app to suit them. So it's very good that you brought that up.
Yeah.
And for listeners to...
Yeah, because the thing is that when you are signing up onto these accounts, you usually would not take your time to read all those things. And they are not readily available at the time. So when you are signed up, it will be good to just go check the privacy settings and then see whether the things that have been indicated there suit you, whether you want to turn some off and leave some as is. Because LinkedIn, it gives you different options, whether you want to be seen when you are searched through Google. Because, you know, sometimes you just set someone's name in Google and then it comes with their LinkedIn profile and all that. You have that option to be able to turn it off or turn it on. Different aspects. The kind of information that you have, if it's your contact information, for instance, who you want to see, whether it's only recruiters, all that is available there. And so we need to be updating these as often as possible. And
but also mm-hmm. even aside the general framework or the general setup of your account or any account, you know, it's with specific posts, even you can do a post depending on the platform you are using.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe only certain groups of people will see.
Yes.
Yes. That's also a very good security measure.
It's true.
So you can post very personal things, but only maybe people in your circles or people in a private group would see it.
It's true.
So these are all means by which, aside, yes, the general one, the general set of information.
You've just reminded me of something that happened some time back. I remember my husband was saying, anytime he posts something on Facebook, he was just seeing like only one like. Apparently, he had just limited the people who could see his posts to just a number of people. So that is really true. Facebook gives you an option to share to public, to with your friends, and then with contacts. So at least all those are privacy settings that you can have. Even at the time you are sharing a particular post, you can choose which of them, the audience that you want to see. And so it's good that we look at that. Now, we've been talking about ourselves in a way. We want to look at parents also and how they can put some of these controls in for their words. What can we share with them?
Well, that one, in my opinion, I think the most effective way is to actually be present and monitor it.
You say be present.
I wouldn't know in that you can't delegate it to an app or some software. I know it works. It's good. You can put all the means in place. But if you are not monitoring it in person, it can get out of place, especially with all the dangers in the world right now. So that is the first means or factor that I would say that you should monitor what is going on your child or your ward's internet activity or online digital activity. So that's one. But yes, there are means that you can implement this two-factor authentication. There's all sorts of digital nannies that's in terms of their softwares that you can delegate them to, so they prevent their access, screen time, all sorts of means. I mean, if you want to list them, you would go on and on and on. But another important factor also, or measure, is the education that you, right from the early age, because now if you talk about this Gen Z's, digital natives, I mean, now
the alpha gens,
children of 3 years old, when you give them a picture, they are going to swipe it because that's what they expect it to do. So right from the beginning, you know that they have been born into the technological world, so educating them, letting them know the dangers, the harms that exist in the world, in the digital world, is very, very critical.
But this thing can be scary. The fact that someone can be sitting in their home, they see someone's picture or they see a post from someone, and the kind of comments that they may just give on that, and it affects people, like the cyberbullying that you touched on at a point. So as parents, that constant monitoring is important. And I think one of the ways that parents can do this also is through usually checking the browsing history.
Well, but if you have a smart kid, they will delete it.
That's true anyway. That's true. But at least there are some things that you can use to check and then do this often. I think we just need to create a safe space where we can know what's happening with our words.
Maybe no measure would be 100%, but at least all these measures put together, they go a long way to curbing all these dangers. And the interesting thing is that when you look at the laws, or Ghana's laws on some of these issues, electronic transactions, cybersecurity, there appears to be a specific mention for things like child stalking a child, child pornography. Like the law itself has taken a very, very stern standpoint and places very huge importance on it that, look, this exists and it is a crime. So I just
it would be good for you to touch on that more.
Yeah, so those offenses, or the law says that if you use some electronic means to perpetrate this thing, these things, so in that, on phone or using some electronic means or device, you are stalking a child, or you are distributing child pornography material, it is a crime, and that you are liable to a term of imprisonment, 5 to 25 years. But I mean, this is as a consequence. If at the end of the day your child has already been a victim,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that is, I mean, it's bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, the damage would have already been caused. So it's just a point to for everybody to realize that this matter is so important that the law specifically mentions it consistently in the Cybersecurity Act and the Digital Electronic Transactions Act.
Okay, so you mentioned if someone is found stalking a particular child, they are liable. Could it also affect parents if they are trying to check what their boys have been doing and following on them? Will it affect them in any way, or that is not an issue on the parent's side?
Well, no. So there's no liability generally in, yes. I know that in laws like the Children's Act, there's mm-hmm. a certain duty on parents. Mm. You know, you have to take decisions which inure to the benefit or promotes the welfare and well-being of the child. So based on that, but those do not, if it is a specific or a direct act or mm-hmm. omission, mm-hmm. yes, there can be liability on that front. But in the digital space, not necessarily, not directly. It doesn't make any specific mention of that.
Okay. We've been having a conversation on how we can keep ourselves safe, especially on our social media accounts. And I've been having a conversation with Yao Usu Abibiu. And so far, we've seen the different ways that we can, even for our different accounts, keep our privacy settings updated. There's a need for us to be doing that, mainly because without those being updated, you don't know what kind of information that you may be sharing with someone out there. And also, there are risks when it comes to the kind of information that you share out there. You don't put literally everything about you online, because someone may have access to that information and then use it wrongly. Yao, in talking about this right now, I want us to touch on location sharing. You know that there are times that you may be going somewhere, the person doesn't really, you have to meet someone, example, that send you their location. What are some of the risks associated with this, and how can we curb some of those situations, should we find ourselves in them? Because sometimes you can't do anything about it. You have to share the location anyway.
Well, for me, on a lighter note, mm-hmm. I don't like turning my location settings on because I think it drains my battery.
Okay.
But beyond that,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've accessed or tried this before. For Google,
mm-hmm.
when you turn on your location, generally, there's a place in your account, when you look through your accounts, where it would have traced, this is a default set,
mm-hmm.
you would see where the routes that you've taken, yes, everything is over there, even though you didn't necessarily give that instruction that
it was on, it was.
It's a default
set. Yeah.
So as to how, well, there are various reasons. I mean, now, the location, you know, it enhances your user experience for different apps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, if you're using a ride-hailing app, you cannot do away with the location. But it's important to limit the access, first of all. So I'm sure we all come across some of these only allow access when in the app or while using
the app. Yeah.
Yes, these are some of the things that we are supposed to specifically avert our minds to, and then make sure that they are minimalist enough that they will inure to our benefits. And then also permissions to apps which are outside, say, some of these apps which are mm-hmm. necessary mm-hmm. for our use. We limit it or remove them completely, so that because some all this information could leak through the pipes and then fall into the wrong hands.
That's the whole point. So at least for those specific apps that you definitely need to use location at a point, it could be Google Maps, it could be any of these, Uber, Bolt, any of them, you have that option. Check the settings. You only allow location sharing while using the app. It will usually come with always never while using app. Mm-hmm. It's better to use the while using app so that only when you're using the app, when you're done using it, you can close it and you know that your location sharing for that particular app is off. This is Geeks Card with your girl Adibia Brichum. We are having a conversation on how we can keep ourselves safe by updating our privacy settings on our social media handles. I'm having a conversation with Yao Usu Abibu. Geek Squad is brought to you by MTN, MTN, everywhere you go. You know, we all have those days when you are low on everything, energy, time, cash, and even airtime and data. Well, that's why MTN Extra Time is an airtime and data advanced service that allows you to make calls or browse the internet even when you have insufficient balance. All you have to do is to dial *506#, *506#, go through the prompts and select the amount of airtime or data you need. It's more than simple. Doing your favorite things on MTN means you don't get interrupted even when you are low on airtime or data. Please remember, all terms and conditions apply. This is Geek Squad, brought to you by MTN. We'll be back right after this break.
The other day, I visited Kweku at his spunky new office to congratulate him on opening his business. And man, was I impressed. The business is just moving quick. The sales, customers, everything is just working seamlessly. The secret? He said,
it's MTN Business Broadband. In this fast-paced environment, we need fast and reliable internet to support all business types. No laggy online meetings, great download and upload speeds, impeccable business management systems, all inclusive. I mean, you can have it all.
Sharp! I signed on immediately.
To enable your business stay ahead and stay connected, make sure you're signed on to the best internet made just for businesses. MTN Business Broadband. Sign up today on broadband.mtn.com.ga. And manage your account on my MTN app. Call 0244-308-111 for more information. We are good together everywhere you go.